Talk to our main man,
Michael Felder, my man in Amsterdam, or wherever he's...
He's all over Bleacher Report.
Well, he's all over the Stiggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Good morning, Michael Felder.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Very awesome. I just watched your mug on the Bleacher Report, and you were talking about questions for the 2014 college football season that include but are not limited to, how's this stinking playoff going to go, and is it going to be better than the BCS? So we'll start there. What do you think?
I tell you what, we were actually going back and forth with emails with a couple other writers. I think you guys know Barry Sully.
Yeah, he's
a little bit.
You mean the Braves guy?
Yeah, the one that likes the Braves a little bit.
And the Batser.
I think we've got kind of a BCS 2.0, and when I sat down and looked at it, I started mapping out the teams, and we used to have four BCS bowl games before we got the national championship. We had four BCS bowl games. One of those games serves as the national champion, and whoever was supposed to play in that bowl game based upon contracts got sent elsewhere, knocking somebody out. Now we have six of those games. Two of them will serve as semifinals, and whoever's supposed to go there is going to go somewhere else. They're going to knock somebody else out. And it, to me, I look at it, and yeah, you're going to get a top four in theory. That top four, with the scheduling people are doing, that top four is going to come from the same Big Five conferences that it's continuously come from. And then you're going to get them to play a championship game. I think a lot of folks, this isn't going to be what they thought it was going to be. There's going to be a lot of teams that miss out, good teams that miss out on those access bowls. And then this is going to be, I mean, the rich are continuing to get richer in college football.
This is true. You know what I have an issue with or a question about, Michael? Certainly Alabama is the premier program in the country, with all due respect to Florida State and Auburn, who played in the national title last year. But they are replacing a quarterback this year, and yet I still see every prediction expecting them to be in the Final Four. So do you have any concerns about that happening, or are they just so dominant at every other? Certainly they've got like eight NFL draft picks, maybe the best running back in the whole wide world, maybe the top two running backs in the whole world on their roster. But I got to think, when you're replacing a quarterback, it's just not quite that simple, is it?
I don't even think it's the quarterback that's going to get him. It's going to be Jacob Toker. I'm tired of saying whether or not it's going to be Toker. It's going to be Toker. You don't bring in a transfer quarterback to sit on the bench. It'll be Toker until he screws it up. Hmm. So as long as Jacob Toker doesn't throw interceptions and lets Amari Cooper and Derrick Henry and T.J. Yeldon go make plays, they're going to be in good shape. The thing that gives me pause, my question mark, is going to be on the offensive line. Obviously, they lost Anthony Steen. They lost Cyrus Kwanjo. Replacing those guys, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah.
Because we saw last year their offensive line had some problems, and now you have even more holes on that line. I want to see if they can rebound from that.
Okay.
You think Alabama quarterback, I think one of us could slip in there and probably hand off to those guys and do a pretty decent job.
There was that. They do have some freakish, I mean, Yeldon and what's the other kid's name? The young kid that had the breakout running back.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, Henry's freakish.
Oh, yeah, Derrick Henry. Did you see his new car on Instagram? He's got a brand new challenge.
What is it, Charger or something?
No, it was a new Challenger, wasn't it?
Challenger, Charger. Oh, hey, look.
Charger, yeah.
Same family. All I know is this. He's the only guy that I would send in against the Mountain on Game of Thrones and expect him to come back out.
Mm.
He's a monster.
Like that. Dude, you're 100% correct. That guy's a man-child. I'm curious to see how they split up those carries this year, because Derrick Henry does a lot more of what Alabama is used to doing running the football. He runs power. Mm-hmm. He runs downhill. He doesn't run the zone side to side and then cut up field like Yeldon does. So I'm curious to see how they split up carries.
I honestly, Michael, expect to see him half the time this year running the football while carrying T.J. Yeldon under his other arm. I think he's that monstrous and powerful. I don't mean to go over the top about Alabama, because they get sucked up too much anyway. But this kid, and when you say he's special among Alabama kids, you're really saying something. He is such a – for those who missed him in the bowl game last year – he is such a – he's sort of the Manziel for me. He is the guy that is worth the price of admission. You sit back and go, oh, my God, how is that even possible? What a freakish talent. He's so big. And so we were in Mobile, and he's an Alabama native, I guess, and they were telling stories about his days in high school, and I'm like, that's not even close to fair. Are you kidding me?
I saw him. We actually did. We hosted our first live thing, and it was the year that he signed in 2013. And one of the things that we did is we showed some high school highlights from his, and it was a lot of one guy going to Alabama, and the rest of these kids, I hope they're good at math or something, because you have no business being on this field.
Yeah.
Hey, you talked about the college football playoff, and Jeff Long is he's heading it up first one. What do you think are his biggest challenges that he's going to have to deal with in terms of just being the leader of that group and then with selecting those four teams?
I think the biggest challenge is the thing that's plagued media members, it's plagued coaches, it's plagued, and it's been the biggest problem. It's watching these teams play and making sure that all those people that he's working with are watching these teams play. I don't think you can go – I think that you have to start from there, and I don't think nearly enough people are giving credence to that. Everybody's worried about, well, what if they have these biases? Or what if you have the biggest bias, and that's you didn't watch Team X play? That's the thing that I want to get rid of. I love that they're pushing the date back to the middle of the week to get this done instead of asking some writer who was up until 2:30 in the morning trying to file his last story to vote by noon on Sunday for where these teams fit when he hasn't got a chance to watch them play. At least now they've got a buffer to watch more teams play. Because as someone that works in the industry, it takes me until Monday. I work all day Saturday watching. I work all day Sunday watching. It takes me until Tuesday morning until I'm all the way caught up. I like that they're doing that. Have people that can watch the game.
What do you think of the group that was put together? Do you feel like that's the group is what needs?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's all right. The big thing for me is I personally would have put more football people on there, and that's former coaches, that's former players, and that speaks
is that
more
a shot
to,
at Condi?
To my personal bias with how you watch tape and what you see on film. Versus a big score, putting up a big number versus a team, versus a team that comes out, they execute, get the job done, and they can continue to do that. Sort of like a Michigan State from last year.
Taking a shot at Condi Rice?
No, not her. Not just her. I think there's a lot of people that fit into that mix. I think Condoleezza Rice is just one of them. And for me, I look at it, and a lot of folks that just there's different parts of football that people watch for. And I hope that because there are coaches on staff or former coaches on staff, there's guys that have played. Well, I hope that they can sit in a room and say, hey, well, when you saw this, did you look at that? And I think it could be a learning experience. Look, it's the first year. The whole entire thing is going to be a learning experience. But I think there's people on the staff that can point out specific elements of the game and say, well, next time you watch, check this out because I noticed this. I think that could be a problem for them. Or I think that's why Team X is better.
See, I think he's going to have – Jeff Long is going to get criticized no matter what.
Yeah,
I mean, they're going to get – it's just like, you know what I'm saying?
I would also say, generally speaking, you'd have four pretty obvious choices.
Sure. I would think that we all are rational enough to come up with pretty good four teams to come in the playoffs ourselves, and we would get criticized.
I would also say, Michael, to take away and assuage any of your fears, that I do have the ear of Condoleezza Rice, so I will put in a good word. So you just let me know what you like, and I'll let her know.
You know Condi?
Hey. Oh, buddy, we go way back. Are you kidding me?
As long as she's voting the way I want, I don't mind.
She likes hanging out because that's every time we play golf together, she whoops me, so she likes that. So, you know, she feels good about her game.
She plays some the tips, too.
What other quarterback races are we watching here? I guess we're sort of curious what's going to happen over at A&M because with that high-powered offense, I will assume they'll have to get good play from the quarterback to have a chance to do some good things. I mean, you got Missouri sort of changing over, but they've already
Mock.
Yeah, but they got a proven commodity quarterback. It's a little bit different than the situation at A&M. But let's talk SEC specific outside of Alabama. What other places are the quarterback race is being watched closely?
I think obviously you got to go A&M. Kenny Hill, I feel like he took himself out of the race though when he got in trouble. So I think that's going to be Kyle Allen's job. And he'll start for the start of the season. And if Kenny Hill can get into the mix later by virtue of Kyle Allen screwing up, then so be it. But other than that, you look around the SEC, I like LSU. LSU, I wouldn't be surprised to see the kid Brandon Harris start, the freshman. If Anthony Jennings couldn't pull away from him during the spring on an early enrollee, when you got a chance to start in the bowl game, to play against Arkansas, you got a chance to do all those things, and you couldn't pull away from the freshman, that tells me there's a lot. There's not much separation there. And as Harris gets better, he's going to get an opportunity to play for LSU. I think the interesting thing for me, though, is there's not a ton of upheaval. You mentioned Mizzou. I think that South Carolina and Georgia are in the same boat as Mizzou. Yeah, they have a new starter kind of at quarterback, but all three of those kids, Matty Mauk, Dylan Thompson, and Hudson Mason, have seen significant time, play significant minutes.
Right.
So I expect those guys to come back strong. Obviously, Nick Marshall, the things they're talking about him, he could be dangerous. If he really is gonna complete 65% of his passes, the whole better watch out because he's gonna burn it down.
Well, I hope that's not true. Michael Felder joining us in the zone on the Stiggy's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Florida fans will tell you, man, Bummer of a year, had a lot of injuries. What a tough break for Coach Muschamp. I actually don't think it was a tough break. I think it was the best thing that could have happened to him, because I think he will prove himself out. As much as I like him and as much as he can be my defensive coordinator anytime he wants, I don't believe in him as a head coach. So I would say that he got to use injuries as an excuse last year, and if he doesn't have that many significant injuries this year, the truth will bear itself out. What are your thoughts on Florida this coming season, and what do you think of him as a head coach?
I love Muschamp as a head coach. Okay. He tells me any day of the week. I think that he's fantastic. And I think, and obviously, I've got that defensive swing to me. So I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, man, if you can find some way to get 28 points on the board, you can win all your games. And I look at him, and I like Kurt Roper. I think that agree with you that last year was the best thing that could happen to him, because he's fighting for his job right now. And when you're fighting for your job, you got to let your offensive coordinator coordinate. You got to take your hand from around his throat, stop choking him, don't throttle him down, and you got to let him do his job so that he can save your job. That's what Kurt Roper's there to do. I think we see Florida open up the offense at this point. Your way is not going to work. Your way is not going to work, and you've got to find a way to get it done. And that means opening up the playbook. That means throwing the ball around the yard a little bit, taking more risks. I expect Jeff Driscoll to have a solid season this year, because I look at him. I've seen a lot of Anthony Boone. I saw a lot of Brandon Kinnett. Jeff Driscoll's a better athlete than both of them, but he's got a similar skill set to both of those guys. And with the intermediate and short passes, he's very comfortable with those. And with running the ball, even between the tackles, he can do that. As long as Driscoll can stay healthy, because I don't trust Will Greer. I've seen a lot of Will Greer as well, and I don't think he's ready. I don't know that he's ever going to be ready to be the guy at Florida. So Driscoll's got to stay healthy. But this team, pound the ball in the middle and then spread it out so that teams can loosen up and they're not keying on you run on every single play. And obviously, you guys with Arkansas, you know exactly what that's like.
Yeah.
It's tough to win ball games when people know that even on 3rd and 8, you're going to run the football.
That's right, and then we'll get 3. You know what? That's a valid point. I've only gotten to meet a few guys that are now coaching in the SEC. But we have had a chance to meet Coach Muschamp. He's very impressive. The guy has unbelievable energy both on the sideline and in person. I think he's a very engaging guy, certainly a guy you think could recruit well. You're right. If he will let the reins off, though, and let Roper handle it, that's a guy we also got to know who was a Broyles Award finalist this last year when he was at Duke. Very impressive guy. Been around the SEC. Certainly knows what it takes to win here. Seems to be a perfect fit if he will let him do his job. And what a likable guy, too. So, for his sake, I hope it goes well. Look, I'm fine with them winning the East, because I'm going to assume that Arkansas won't be seeing them in the SEC championship game this year. So that's fine and dandy. I don't really care one way or the other. But anyway, I'm just curious to see if he can pull this off as a head coach, or if he's strictly one of those guys that is better served as a coordinator. But we'll see. I'll trust your judgment on that, and certainly Roper could have a huge impact immediately. We appreciate the time, Michael. We'll catch up again soon, and take care. Thanks for the insight.
Later, bro.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks so much. You guys take it easy.
All right. That's Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com.
He's a thoughtful young man.
He's awesome.
I like Michael.
Why is he taking shots at Condi? I don't know what's up with that.
Well, he wasn't just he said, well, it's not that. I don't like other people, too. He basically said, yes, I can't stand her, and she has no business, but these other people don't either. That's what he meant to say.
Okay. Fair enough. Good news, guys. Good news. Since we're talking football, Monday night football at the Tavern Sports Grill. All right, calm down, guys. Not all at once, I know.